Back at verse 14, the Bible reads, "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." So the Bible gives us a really clear admonition here that we're supposed to redeem the time, that we're supposed to understand what God wants us to do. And it tells us one of the ways to achieve this is by being filled with the Spirit. And so the title of my sermon this evening is Full of the Holy Ghost, Full of the Holy Ghost. And I want to look at four examples in the Bible where men are full of the Holy Ghost and see the benefits of being full of the Holy Ghost. Now, I started here because I want to first talk about how you can be filled with the Spirit, or one of the best ways to become filled with the Spirit. Notice what it says here, verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So the way that you're full of the Holy Ghost is really comes down to this verse, speaking to yourself the Word of God and singing to yourself the Word of God. But really, it all comes back to one thing, the Word of God. You know, reading the Bible, singing the Bible, singing spiritual songs. This is how you fill yourself with that Spirit, with the Holy Spirit. That's how you're full of the Holy Ghost. And then when you're full of the Holy Ghost, there's going to be a lot of benefits attached to being filled. So I want to show you this. Go to Luke chapter number 4. Go to Luke chapter number 4. Let's find somebody in your Bible that was full of the Holy Ghost. Now, when it comes to people that were full of the Holy Ghost, number one example is always going to be Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says that God did not give the Spirit by measure unto him, meaning that Jesus Christ was always full of the Holy Ghost. He's always completely brimming with the Spirit. And so because he has that benefit, he's able to perform a lot of different functions. But Luke chapter number 4 is going to be the first time we kind of see this phrase or see this specific mention here. But look at verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost. Notice that's who he is. He's just full of the Holy Ghost. That's the state that he's in. Returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. So it's really interesting how Jesus Christ, he's full of the Holy Ghost. Notice he's being led by the Spirit. He goes into the wilderness. He's tempted for 40 days. That's a lot of temptation. 40 days of being tempted directly by the devil. And it says he didn't eat anything. And it says afterward he hungered. I feel like I've been hungry the whole time, but he says after he was hungry. That's a long time. Now, it's going to go through temptations that the devil was trying to bring upon Jesus Christ. It says in verse 3, and the devil said to him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it may be made bread. Now, you want to know one of the devil's number one tactics in trying to destroy Christianity? Putting doubt on the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Putting doubt on the fact that Jesus is God. Doubting who Jesus is. And you look at all kinds of cults, you look at all kinds of false religion, what are they constantly doing? They're attacking who Jesus is. They're attacking that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And really, why are they attacking the fact that he's the Son of God? Because that's who he is, and if he is the Son of God, that makes him God manifest in the flesh. That proves his deity. Because the Jews, understanding when he called himself the Son of God, realized that, hey, he's making himself equal with God, saying that this guy is God, you know, if he is the Son of God. So the devil is trying to put shade on or try to basically put doubt in people's mind if Jesus is the Son of God. Even the Son of God himself, he's trying to get the Son of God to doubt who he is, to doubt himself. And you know what? The devil will also do this to you. The devil will try to get you to doubt who you are. Now, here's the thing. I'm not the Son of God in the sense that Jesus is. There's two different ways to kind of look at that phrase, but I am a son of God in another sense. And you know what the devil would like to do is he'd like to put doubt in your heart that you're a son of God. He'd like for you to forget that you're a son of God, doubt that you're a son of God, put doubt on your salvation, put doubt on the fact that God is with you, put doubt on who you are. You know how you can stop that? You can stop that by being filled with the Holy Ghost, by being filled with the Scriptures, and being reminded of the fact that you are a son of God. Behold, now are we the sons of God, is what the Bible says. And when you're full of the Holy Ghost, when you're full of the Spirit of God, all kinds of verses can be flooded into your mind, and you can be like, nothing can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So when you're full of the Holy Ghost, point number one, benefit number one, is you can stop temptation. You can stop the wiles of the devil. You can stop the false doctrine of the devil. But you know what? It gives you stopping power when it comes to the ploys of Lucifer, Satan, the deceiver, the accuser of the brethren, as the Bible describes him. Because the devil wants to constantly come and accuse you and slander you and lie to you and make you doubt who you are. But you know what? When you're full of the Holy Ghost, you can constantly be reminded from the Scriptures that you're a child of God. I'm a child of the King, as the great song is. Hey, when you're singing real loud out, I'm a child of the King, it's going to be really hard for the devil to whisper in your ear, are you really a son of God? It's like, yes, I am. And Jesus is the Son of God. What did he say? It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Arguably, I mean, to me, it's almost one of my favorite verses. I just love this verse. Every word of God. That's what we live by. And look, how did Jesus overcome the devil? By the word of God. And why is the word of God being brought to his mind? Because he's full of the Holy Ghost. So notice the benefit of being full of the Holy Ghost is it helps you to stop temptation. It helps you to stop foolish thoughts, false doctrine, all the things the devil's going to come and try to tempt you with, to try to destroy you with. Now, we could go through this entire chapter. I don't want to necessarily go through all of them. Go to James chapter 4, James chapter number 4. But the devil constantly is trying to tempt Jesus Christ. He's trying to get him to worship him. You know, he's trying to get him to tempt the Lord, to try and, you know, fall down and worship the devil or fall off a cliff. It's interesting that the devil's always trying to get you to kill yourself. And look, that's, you know, the people that are constantly killing themselves and cutting themselves are a lot of times probably being afflicted by demons. They're probably demon-possessed. And, you know, some people will say, oh, man, I don't know why this person is constantly trying to hurt themselves, harm themselves, or injure themselves. It could just be that they're literally demon-possessed. You know, people say, oh, well, we need more drugs, or they need to see a different psychologist, or they, you know, they have mental health issues. They probably just need to get saved. Because, you know, there was the guy out in the tombs, he's constantly cutting himself, and he's like, we are legion. It's like, that's probably pretty weird. It's probably pretty weird having a conversation with the guy. And so if you find people that it's really weird having a conversation with this person, they're really mentally unstable, they're trying to hurt themselves, it could be they just need to get saved. And then once they get saved, they have the Holy Ghost coming inside of them, and when they're filled with the Word of God, with the Scripture of God, when the devil comes and whispers in their ear, kill yourself, you can just say, go to hell, devil. You can say, hey, I'm not supposed to tempt the Lord thy God. You know what? I'm not going to do something so foolish and so selfish and so evil today. You know what? If you want to stop suicide, get people saved. And then fill them with the Holy Ghost by preaching to them the Word of God, getting them into church, serving the Lord. You know what? It'll do wonders to your mental health. The Word of God, the King James Bible. James chapter 4, look at verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So notice, whenever you're submitting yourself to God, whenever you're going to be full of the Holy Ghost, that's going to give you the ability to do something. What is it going to give you the ability to do? To resist the devil. And when you resist the devil, when you stop the devil in his tracks, he'll leave you alone eventually. So if you want the devil to leave you alone, what's the cure? Being full of the Holy Ghost, resisting him, telling him to stop by preaching the Bible at him, and then he'll go away. So you may and I feel tormented every single day. Well, you know what? You need to start resisting the devil. You need to start telling him no. Because the more you tell him yes, the more he's going to be there to afflict you, the more demons, the more. I mean, this one guy had 1,000 devils in him. approximately? I don't know. I mean, a legion? I mean, I don't know exactly what the number. It could be hundreds, thousands. I mean, this guy has a lot of demons and a lot of devils. And you know what? The devil likes somebody that constantly says yes. What he doesn't like is someone that's stopping him with the word of God. That's why it's important to be filled with the Spirit. Not only will it just help you to just stop the devil, it just help you to stop sinning in general. Because when you're really focused on something, when you're really dedicated to something, it's going to help you to forget other things. You know, if I'm working really hard, I've noticed this about myself, that if I have a lot of tasks to do, or if I have a lot of things that I need to get done in a particular day, and I just start working, all of a sudden time just starts going like this. Sometimes you'll skip lunch, and you won't even realize it. I mean, I've done this before. I don't know if you've done this before. I'm just saying, like, I've literally gone tons of days in my life where I'm, like, working, or I'll skip lunch. It'll be, like, 2 or 3, and I'm thinking, like, I'm kind of hungry. You know, I don't even realize what happened because I was so dedicated. I was so focused on a particular task. Well, here's the thing. When you're just full of the Holy Ghost and you're thinking about the Bible and you're meditating on the Scripture and you're singing psalms and hymns, you know what you're going to end up doing a lot of times? You're going to forget to sin. You're going to be like, man, I was so busy thinking about the Bible and reading the Bible and thinking about God and working and doing what was right. I forgot to sin today. I forgot to screw up. I forgot to do all these things. You know what? When you're full of the Holy Ghost, it's going to help you to stop sin. You know, the Bible makes it clear when you walk in the Spirit, you're not going to fulfill the lust thereof. You're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. You're not going to, you know, walk in the flesh. You're going to be walking in the Spirit. So the benefit of being full of the Holy Ghost is that you're not going to be sinning. Notice Jesus Christ, according to the Bible, was without sin. He who did no sin. Why? Because he's full of the Holy Ghost. I guess he forgot. That's not really true. He can't sin. But I'm just saying, he doesn't have time to sin. You know, when you're full of the Holy Ghost, you don't have time to sin. You're going to forget to sin. You're going to miss out on sin because you're just so busy serving God. And you know, when you're not thinking about something, when you're not meditating about something, you're often not going to do it. Why do we notice David committing horrible sin? Because he's not busy serving God. He's just, you know, he doesn't go out to war. He just wandered around the rooftop late at night. Probably a bad idea. Then he notices a woman, and then he's thinking about her, then he's asking about her, then he's inviting her over. I mean, we can see where this is going. And then he commits horrible sin, okay? Why? Because when you give yourself all this opportunity to think and wonder about bad things, you'll often find yourself doing those things. Whenever you're constantly thinking about the Bible and thinking about serving God and singing songs about God, you're going to end up finding yourself doing those things. So, you know, it's good to fill yourself on that which is right, because when you're full of that which is right, you don't have any room for that which is wrong. Go if you would to Acts chapter number 6. So point number 1 I have this evening is this. If you're full of the Ghost, it's going to help you to stop sin, stop the devil, stop false doctrine. Everything you want to stop, it's going to give you the ability to stop it. Here's point number 2 that I have, and this is another great man of God, which all of the men of the God that are full of the Holy Ghost, you know, obviously it's probably self-evident that they're going to be great. But Acts chapter number 6, we're going to talk about some other men that are described as being full of the Holy Ghost. Verse 3, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip and Procurus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. Here's point number 2. When you're full of the Holy Ghost, not only can you stop the devil, but you can also be selected to serve God. You can stop the devil, but you can be selected to serve God. Notice one of the attributes of the men that they wanted to pick to serve God was being full of the Holy Ghost. And they specifically mentioned Stephen was a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. It's not just random that Stephen gets selected. And you know what you say? I want to be selected to serve God. I want to be chosen to do great things for God. Well, let me tell you how you can get there. Be full of the Holy Ghost. Be a man that's full of the Holy Ghost. And when you're full of the Holy Ghost, you know what? God is going to want to select you. God is going to want to choose you. God is going to want to use you in service for him. Go So if you went to Titus chapter number 1, go to Titus chapter number 1. And Stephen's a great man of God. He preaches a great sermon in the Bible. You know, he does great works. The Bible says many were added to the church after these men were selected. Look, it's not a coincidence that they picked this guy that's full of Holy Ghost to do this work, to be a deacon, or, you know, I don't know exactly what title they were given, evangelist or something. They're probably really a deacon, if you think about it. And then everybody, all these people are added to the church. All these great wonders and miracles and works are being done because if you're full of Holy Ghost, great things are going to happen. Now, Titus chapter number 1 is talking about someone that's being appointed to a particular task. Look what it says in verse number 5. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee. So just like Titus was selected, he was appointed, he's then going to appoint other men. He's supposed to pick other men. And when you go through this chapter, you're going to see all kinds of different attributes that are describing these men. And look at verse 9, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught. So you see someone that's full of what? The word of God. And someone who's going to be full of the word of God is going to be similar to what we've been talking about, full of the Holy Ghost. Go to 2 Timothy, just flip backwards, just a page, and look at chapter 2. You say, well, I want to be selected to serve God. I want to be selected to do something big for God. Well, you know what? Fill yourself with the Holy Ghost. And I would say this, you have every opportunity to fill yourself with the Holy Ghost because, again, what was the recipe? Speaking to yourself, the Word of God, singing to yourself, the Word of God. You know what? The guy that's not reading the Bible, the guy that's not singing the Bible, he's not going to be the guy that's going to get picked. And if he does get picked, he's probably not going to be that effective. Because at the end of the day, the guy that's going to be really effective is the one that's filling himself with the Scripture. The Bible says we cannot but help but speak the things which we've seen and heard. Like I said earlier in this morning sermon, you are a sponge. And you know what? When you fill yourself with black paint, black paint's going to spill out. You know what? When you fill yourself with the Word of God, you know what's going to spill out? The Word of God, the Scriptures, you know, the Spirit. When you fill yourself with the Spirit, you know it's going to pour out the Spirit. And so it's important what you fill yourself with. And it's important what you meditate on. And it's important the activities and the things that you do because they're going to have a direct impact on who you are, what you do, what you sound like, the decisions you make. Everything about you is going to be based on the stuff that's coming in. You know, I liken it under this phrase. It's kind of a carnal phrase, but I think it has a spiritual application. You are what you eat. You are what you eat. You know, if you look at somebody, you could probably guess what their diet like it looks like. Okay, from a physical perspective. But here's the thing. I bet you if I look at you with spiritual glasses, I can guess what you're eating spiritually too. And some people are starving to death spiritually. Some people don't even have, it's like you're about to die. It's like someone make him a spiritual sandwich. Someone get this guy a glass of the milk of the word because he needs some milk or he's going to famish. He's going to die, you know. And it comes to the Word of God, when it comes to someone that's going to be selected, it's not the guy that's about to die. It's the guy that's able to handle the strong meat. It's the guy that's been feeding himself with the Word of God, and he's ready to share that meal with other people. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, look at verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who should be able to teach others also. So notice, in order to get selected in the New Testament, you have to meet certain requirements. It's not just a free-for-all. It's not just, well, I just felt really called today, Pastor Shelley. You know, I went yesterday when preaching the gospel, I ran into a young man, and he went to a church called Word of God, probably Pentecostal or charismatic, okay? Everybody that went to this church is unsaved because I ran into like 4 or 5 people in a row that went to this church. And he believed faith and works, salvation's a lifestyle. A lot of these people, it's kind of hard to get them nailed down quickly. So what I just say is I say, do you think salvation is a one-time thing or a lifestyle? And they're like, lifestyle. And that'll help you get real quick down to what you need to say. Actually, the Bible says it's a one-time thing. Let me show you. So I show him, and he was real receptive. He got saved. And afterwards, he's kind of saying, you know what? This is funny because all the prophets in my church have been telling me, that, you know, I'm like called to preach and that I should be a preacher. And if I resist, you know, that, you know, God's just going to make it more prevalent in my life. And I said, well, you know what? Every person that gets saved is called to preach. We're all called to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and to go out and get people saved. And I said, and some men are called to go beyond just that, even preaching sermons and being a pastor or being a teacher or being an evangelist. And I said, if that's what you have a desire in your heart, you should seek it. But here's what you need to do. You need to go to a good church and start reading the Bible and start filling yourself with the scriptures. Because I don't care what prophet, so-called, said anything about you. If you don't know the Bible, you're not called. If you're a novice, you're not called. You know, you got to fill yourself with the Spirit of God. You got to prove yourself. You got to be faithful according to the Bible. You got to show up. You know what I think of a person that's faithful? They're always there. You're never thinking this. Where's that? Where's this person? I wanted to talk to this person or use this person. A faithful person you just can't get rid of, you know? They're just always there. You just always see them. You can always count on them. You know, you can depend upon them, right? Not only that, if you're faithful, that means that you're full of what? Faith, meaning that they're not constantly, you know, afraid of every evil that's out there. You know, they're constantly walking by faith. They're constantly secure in their walk with Christ. They're constantly thinking about spiritual things. They're constantly reminded of the successes and the victories that come through Christ. They're not constantly thinking like, oh no, the protesters know my name. You know, which I don't know if they know your name. But I mean, what? Oh no, they know that I drive a car that thousands of other people in the city drive. Oh, I'm so worried. You know, my family knows I go to the street. You know, they're not constantly biting their nails and terrified and scared and whatever. No, they're faithful. They're full of faith. They actually believe the promises of God. Their life looks like someone that believes the Bible. It's not someone that doesn't believe the Bible. It's someone that says, you know what? Everything's crashing around me, but I'm just trusting the Lord for it to all work out. You know, I'm not constantly worried about all of the carnal things in this world. I'm not constantly worried about my job. I'm not constantly worried about how I'm going to pay the bills. I'm not constantly worried about how I'm going to raise, you know, 1,000 kids. You know, I'm not constantly, that's legit. I'm not worried about all these carnal things. I'm just walking by faith. And I'm constantly thinking the Lord is going to be there with me. The Lord's going to provide for me. The Lord's going to take care of me. I'm not constantly stressed with all of these other things. I'm believing the Lord is going to get me through the difficulty. It's not that you don't go through difficulty. Hey, the faithful guy probably has gone through worse things than a lot of others. But you know what? He's real confident that the Lord's going to get him through it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That's what I think of as a faithful man, is the guy that like, man, no matter what happens, this guy, he hasn't lost any confidence in the Lord. He hasn't doubted the Lord for one second. I mean, he's standing strong in the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. I mean, this is just, when you think of that song, you think of this guy. This guy is just, you know, he's so full of the Spirit. He's constantly singing the Word of God. He's constantly meditating on the Word of God. He's just always there. And, you know, if someone's full of faith, you know what they're going to be doing? The works of God. You know, they're not going to be missing out on the important works of God. They're going to be there present, doing the work. This is the guy that you're going to select. The guy that's full of the Holy Ghost. Not just some random Yahoo off the street. Not just some guy that decided that he was faithful. Not, hey, I'll let you know when I've met the qualifications, Pastor Shelley. No, you're an imposter. You know, you need to have somebody else find you faithful. I found myself faithful, Pastor Shelley. I just want to let you know that. It's like, that's weird. You know, you got to be there and let someone else find you. And look, it's not like there's just these guys walking around that are just brimming with the Spirit of God. They're just full of the Holy Ghost and you can't find them. Like they're just, man, there's just this guy that's full of the Holy Ghost. I wish someone would notice him. You know, God's up in heaven just thinking like, man, nobody's noticing this. It's going to be obvious. It's going to be evident through his works.
just like Jesus walking into a town, it was evident. Just like Stephen existing as a person, it was evident. Just like Paul walking into town, they're like, hey, the guys that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. It's going to be clear. It's not going to just be like, I don't know. No, you're going to have an impact. That person makes an impact. You know, you should look for the guy that's making an impact in the work of God. That's the guy that you want to select. And you know what? I want to be selected for the work of God. Well, start making an impact where you're at. So then you can be selected for the next level. You can be selected to go into the big. You know, when it comes to professional athletes, they have to prove themselves. You know, the guy that's great in college is going to get selected in the NFL draft. You know, the guy that's doing good in the minor leagues is going to get selected to play in the pro league, in the major league. Don't think that, oh, and LeBron James, he would suck in the minor leagues, but he's really good in the NBA. It's like, no, if he was in the minor leagues, it wouldn't even be fair. I mean, you would just be looking at him. It would be like men among children. You know, it's not like you have this guy that's just a super rock star and the environment is what's holding him back. No. No, you're going to be a super rock star in whatever environment you find yourself in. If Jesus Christ was just a regular church member in our church, I guarantee you would notice the difference. He wouldn't have to be the pastor. He wouldn't have to be the evangelist. He wouldn't have to be the deacon or whatever. You know, he's just going to stand out because he's full of the Holy Ghost. Stephen's going to stand out because he's full of the Holy Ghost. Notice when they said, hey, look out among ye. What do you think they were looking for? The guy that was making the impact already. Stephen, that was there, and they were like, pick this guy. Hey, when Titus is given this appointment, when Timothy is given the appointment to select pastors, what are they looking for? The guy that's making the impact. The guy that's faithful, the guy that's full of the Holy Ghost. You say, hey, Pastor Shelley, I want to be selected. I want to be selected. Well, fill yourself with the Holy Ghost. That's how you do it. Go, if you would, to Acts chapter 7. Go back to Acts and look at Acts chapter 7. Look at my third point. What does being full of the Holy Ghost give you the benefit of? Stopping the devil. Number two, being selected by God. And yes, I believe when a pastor selects someone to do the work of God, that is God selecting them. Because that's how he ordained it. That's how he picked it. That's how he chose it. Okay? Acts chapter number 7. But you know what? He doesn't just make random phone calls. You know, someone comes to me, God called me the other day, told me I should be a pastor. It's like, bad connection. You know, that was not the right phone. He doesn't have your phone number. Okay? Acts chapter 7, look at verse 55. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and standing and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Now, we're going to use the same guy twice. This is the only guy that gets this twice, this phrase, full of the Holy Ghost, Stephen. He's selected, but he goes on from being selected because there were seven that were selected. But then only one gets this. He saw Jesus. Not only can you stop the devil, not only can you be selected by God, you can see Jesus. Say, I want to see Jesus. Fill yourself with the Holy Ghost. Fill yourself with the Spirit, and you can see Jesus. Let me show you this in the Bible. Go to Matthew chapter number 5. Go to Matthew chapter number 5. At what point did he see Jesus? He's being stoned to death. He's being persecuted for preaching the word of God. He's having strong persecution and evil come against him. That's when he saw Jesus. And you know what? You want to see Jesus in your life? I'm going to tell you how you get there. But you may not like it. It's through the eyes of persecution. Through the eyes of persecution. Matthew chapter number 5, look at verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Notice, you can see God. The Bible says you can see God, and it comes from being pure in heart. Separating yourself from the world, separating yourself from sin, separating yourself from the devil, and not only this, separating yourself among the flock by being full of the Holy Ghost. And when you're pure in heart, you're going to see God. And you know what? You want to have a pure heart? Fill yourself with the Spirit of God. Fill yourself with the Word of God. Now, I want you to go to 1 Peter chapter number 4. 1 Peter chapter number 4. You can see God. You know, the Apostle Paul had a great desire for this. He said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection
and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. The Apostle Paul said that he wanted to know Jesus. He wants to see Jesus. He wants to experience Jesus. And you know how he gets there? Through the fellowship of his sufferings. You really want to know what Jesus is like? You really want to experience Jesus? You really want to get the heartbeat of the Bible? It's going to come through persecution. Look at 1 Peter chapter number 4 and look at verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Yeah. Oh, forced vaccination. It's not strange. I mean, in the Bible, they were forcing baby killings. That was way worse. That was way more evil. You know, oh, paying high taxes. That's not strange. Oh, there's people protesting the church. Not strange. People don't like me at work. Not strange. My family is at odds with me. I mean, think not that I'm come to give peace on earth, but rather division. From henceforth, two shall be divided against three in one household. Father against mother, you know, father against son. Mother-in-law is pretty obvious, okay? Brother against brother. I mean, it's going to happen. It's not strange. People will be like, oh, this strange thing happened to me. Somebody didn't like me for being a Christian. It's like, that's not strange. Marvel not if the world hates you, is what the Bible says. Verse 13. But rejoice, and as much as you're partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. For if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Now, notice the correlation to this chapter and what we see with Stephen. It says very clearly in verse 14, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. Notice, he's full of the Holy Ghost. He's being persecuted for the cause of Christ. And he sees Jesus standing at the right hand of God. The Bible says, hey, when you're approached for the name of Christ, notice the Spirit of God is resting upon you. It's a correlation. Hey, I want to be one who knows Jesus. I want to be one who sees Jesus. It's going to come through the lens of being a partaker of Christ's sufferings. When you're stoned, when you're sawn asunder, when you're shipwrecked, when you're beaten with rods, when you hunger. You know, when you hunger and then you read Luke 4 where Jesus hungered, you see Jesus a little bit more. Whenever someone lies about you and you read about Jesus being lied about, you see Jesus just a little bit more. When you have a whole group of Jews surrounding you, wanting to kill you, wanting to persecute you for preaching them the truth, you can see Jesus. Jesus is on the cross with Jews hating on him for having loved them, for having preached them the truth, for having done good unto them. And you say, well, how can I know Christ? How can I see Jesus? How about be Stephen, where you're surrounded with Jews who are throwing stones at you for having what? Preached them the truth. Being full of the Holy Ghost. You say, I want to know Jesus. I want to see Jesus. Hey, how about this, having fellowship with his sufferings? I mean, think about this. When you go through the same battle, when you go through the same thing, afterwards, it's so much fun to talk about it. It's so much fun to fellowship with that. And he's saying, you know what? You get to go to heaven. And he's like, hey, Jesus, you had Jews hate on you? I had Jews hate on me. Hey, you were killed for the truth. I was killed for the truth. And you get to have this great fellowship. You get to have this great relationship with Jesus. Hey, Jesus, someone called me a bad name on YouTube. Like, cool. I want to go talk to Jesus. Like, I want to talk to Stephen about when he was stoned. You know, you say, oh, I want to have a great relationship with Jesus. Do you? You know, think about when the two sons of thunder came unto Jesus and they said, I want to sit at your right and left hand. He's like, do you? You want to drink that? Hey, you want to be really close to Jesus? You want to have a tight-knit relationship with Jesus? You want to see Jesus? You want to lean on Jesus' breast? You better count the cost. Because it's going to come through heavy persecution.
And you say, well, how do I get this persecution, Pastor Shelley? Fill yourself with the Holy Spirit. That's all you have to do. Just fill yourself with the Holy Ghost. The devil will come. The enemies will come. People will attack you. Yea, and all that will of godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. When someone fills themselves with the Holy Spirit, when someone's filling himself with the Holy Ghost, you're going to be doing great things for God, but you know what? Great persecutions are going to come your way. That's why it's important to realize, hey, this is a great benefit, but you know what? Obviously, it comes with a cost. Hey, you want to see Jesus? Get thrown into the fiery furnace. Hey, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they got to see Jesus in the fiery furnace. When did they see Jesus? In the fiery furnace. In the persecution. Hey, you want to see Jesus? It's in the furnace. It's in the fire. It's in the being cast out of the city and stoned to death and lied about and persecuted and all the evil that comes with it. Hey, he said he was with you. Hey, he'd be there. You say, I want to see Jesus. Well, you know what? There's a cost associated with that. You want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? It isn't free. Salvation's free. Being a disciple will cost you everything. All of it. Go to Acts chapter number 11. Go to Acts chapter number 11. Being filled with the Holy Ghost. Hey, it comes with persecution, but you know what? It comes with a benefit. You see Jesus. Hey, you can stop the devil. Hey, you can be selected to serve God. Hey, if you're full of the Holy Ghost, though you have all the gates of hell coming against you, you have every evil coming against you, you can see Jesus, though. Sweet that you can see Jesus through it. And here's the last one. Acts chapter number 11. Look at verse number 24. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added in the Lord. Now, this is talking about Barnabas. Barnabas is our fourth man that's mentioned with this phrase, full of the Holy Ghost. You know what I like about Barnabas? You know what I like about this port? He's a soul winner. Hey, when you're full of the Holy Ghost, you're going to be a soul winner. Hey, much people was added unto the Lord because of Barnabas. You know why? Because he was full of the Holy Ghost. Go to Mark chapter 1. Go to Mark chapter number 1. The heartbeat of Christ is being a soul winner. Hey, when the, you know what the Spirit is constantly, the heartbeat, and they're just like, win souls, win souls, win souls, win people to Christ, get people saved, go out there and preach the gospel to every creature, you know, preach unto every nation, teach all nations, you know, it's just constantly just like, preach the gospel. I mean, when you see someone, when you're walking out in the world today, you know, I sometimes have this thought, I'm looking at all these people and I'm just thinking, none of these people are saved. These people are going to go to hell. These people don't even know what they're doing. You know, and there should be something inside of us that's screaming, that's saying, that person needs the gospel. That person needs to be saved. Mark chapter number 1, look at verse 17. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Look, if you're following Jesus, there's going to be something that's real evident in your life is the fact that you're a fisher of men. That's why someone who's not a fisher of men, I can just say declaratory, just real clear, unequivocally, you're not following Jesus. The people that are not following Jesus are not going to be winning souls to Christ. The person that's winning lots of souls to Christ, they're following Jesus. You know, you look at a pastor that has no one that he's winning to Christ, let me tell you something about him, he's not a follower of Jesus. Go to Matthew chapter number 4, Matthew chapter 4. You know, they always want to get up, these false gospel preachers, they always want to talk about fruit, but isn't it interesting they never want to point to all the people that they're getting saved? They want to talk about their sweet spirit. Oh, I'm full of love and joy in the spirit, or whatever. And it's like, you know what? It's loving to go and warn people about hell and to get people saved and to drag them into church and to get them baptized. And to teach them all things whatsoever Christ commanded. That's the love of God. Is someone that cares about souls. Someone that would drive 3 hours to a town where they don't know a soul and just walk up and down the streets of the ghetto and preach the gospel, hey, that person's full of the love of God, my friend. And you say, what are those people going to go to church? I don't know, but they're going to go to the church up in heaven, to the great assembly, where the bishop of our souls is waiting for us, and it's going to be an epic church service. I don't know how it works, but every single tongue is singing at the same time, apparently. That's pretty cool. Matthew chapter number 4, look at verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea. They were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Look, when you are a follower of Jesus Christ, when you're full of the Holy Ghost, you're going to be a soul winner. The Spirit is going to constantly say to you, win souls, get people saved, preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's going to be constantly reminding you, look and live, my brother, live. Look to Jesus now and live. Hey, when you're singing that, something's going to be happening in your spirit. And then when you see people, you're going to be like, I just want to, hey, look and live. Let me tell you how to look and live. My brother, live. And think about it. You're telling someone that's not even your brother yet, you're like, my brother. Because if he looks and lives, he's your brother. He's your sister. It's your sister. It's your family. You're going out and finding your lost brothers and sisters. You have a bigger family than you realize. Let me show you how the Spirit does this. I'm going to prove this. Go to Acts chapter number 2. Because you know when the Bible constantly mentions the Spirit in the book of Acts? Let's see what's happening. What happens when the Spirit gets mentioned in the book of Acts? I told you that when you're full of the Holy Ghost, you're going to be a soul winner. We saw that through Barnabas, that much people was added to the Lord. We see that when you're following Jesus according to the Word of God, you're going to be a fisher of men. And let me tell you how you follow Jesus. It's called reading this book. It's called filling yourself with the Scriptures. This is Jesus. Welcome to Jesus. Right here. Yeah, I want to see Jesus. Well, open your eyes and read the Bible. Acts chapter number 2, look at verse number 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So notice, the first time we have in the book of Acts, they're filled with the Spirit. And then what do? They go out and they preach the gospel in every language. And they get 3,000 people saved. Notice, when they're full of the Holy Ghost, what happens? Fishers of men, dragging in a huge net, a huge harvest of souls, and getting all kinds of people saved. Look at verse 17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. So notice, when the Spirit comes upon you, what happens? You end up preaching the gospel. You end up preaching the Word of God. You go out there and you get people saved. And he's saying, hey, in the last days, what's the last days? From John the Baptist till now, he's pouring out his Spirit on God's people, and they're going out and they're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're preaching the baptism of repentance, which John preached, which was to believe on him, which should come after him. That is on Christ Jesus. So if you would to chapter 8, go to chapter 8. Let's see another time, and let's see what the Spirit does. Let's see what the Spirit says. Acts chapter number 8, look at verse 29. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. What happens? The Spirit's prompting the evangelist. He's prompting Philip, and he's telling him to go join himself into the chariot to do what? To preach unto him Jesus. And to get the guy saved. So notice again, when you're full of the Holy Ghost, what's it going to do? It's going to make you a soul winner. Go, if you would, to chapter 10 and look at verse 19. Look at chapter 10 and look at verse number 19. While Peter thought on the vision, notice this, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. So what happens? Peter is told to go with these men, go unto Cornelius, and to give them words by which they might be saved. Again, what is the Spirit's main emphasis in the book of Acts so far? Get them saved. Get them saved. Get them saved. It's like, oh, the Spirit didn't tell me that. Well, the fact that you never go soul winning tells me the Spirit's not even talking to you. How could you tell me that you're constantly hearing from the Spirit, but you're never going soul winning? Because that's his primary message. That's what he's constantly communicating and telling people to do.
You say, I don't know if I'm hearing the Spirit of God. Well, are you constantly reminded to go soul winning? That's the Spirit of God constantly knocking on your heart, constantly knocking at your soul and at your mind and saying, hey, you go out and you preach the gospel. You bring them in from the fields of sin. Look at chapter 17 and look at verse 16. You know, we think of the famous chapter when it comes to what you have to do to be saved, Acts chapter 16. If you think a few verses before, what happened? Paul and Silas were singing praises unto God at midnight. And what is that going to do? Oh, yeah, the Bible told me, fill me with the Holy Ghost. And then what happens? A guy falls down and is just begging to get saved. Soul winning. Acts chapter 17, look at verse 16. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Notice his spirit is stirred when he sees people given to idolatry, and it causes him to want to do something. Oh, yeah, preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because the Apostle Paul's a man that's full of the Holy Ghost, and when you're full of the Holy Ghost, he's going to do something. He's going to tug at your spirit. He's going to say, hey, look at these people. They're lost. They're going to hell. They don't know Jesus. Open your mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. You say, how does that happen, being full of the Holy Ghost? Go to chapter 18, look at verse 5. Chapter 18, look at verse 5. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. Notice he's constantly he's pressed. You want to know who pressed him? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost being in Paul and pressing upon him and putting it on his spirit and saying, win souls, win souls, win souls, get them saved. How do you do that? Well, how about your hymnal? Go to hymns 377. Hymn 377. Turn your Bible to Revelation 22. It's the last place of your turn, all right? Hymn 377. Rescue the perishing. Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. Snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Hey, that's a good one. Maybe when you're singing that, humming that, thinking about that, and then you see a whole city given to idolatry, you might think, I need to open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Look at 379. Just flip the page. Bringing in the sheaves. Sowing in the morning, sowing seeds of kindness, sowing in the noontime and the dewy eve, waiting for the harvest and the time of reaping. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Think about the verse you just sang. Sowing in the morning, sowing in the noontide, and the dewy eve. You think that's going to be provoking you to go soul winning ever? How about the morning, at noon, and then in the evening? Look, that's how you get filled with the Holy Ghost, is when you're singing these songs and you're humming. You know, it's not just to come to church and just drunk. Bringing in the sheaves. Oh, God's good. Bring the sheaves. You know, we're going to have to turn those mics down a little bit. It's like, it's for you to sing it because you know what? When you sing four verses, you know what I notice? After the service, when people are walking out, they start whistling or humming the songs that we sang in the morning. And the next day, you'll end up catching yourself singing a song. You're thinking like, why am I singing that? Oh yeah, we sang it in church yesterday. Oh yeah, I heard it the other day. And it's going to do something in your heart. Look at hymn 389. Just flip a few more pages. You know, in this hymnal, it has a whole section in the back where it's giving you like topics. One of the topics is called soul winning. Soul winning. And you know, when you look at the soul winning list, a lot of these songs are not that popular. as far as the other songs. Why? Because a lot of Baptist churches have forgotten the importance of soul winning. They aren't singing these songs. And let me tell you why. Because they're not full of the Holy Ghost. You cannot convince me that a man is full of the Holy Ghost when he's not a soul winner. When he doesn't care about souls. When he's not constantly emphasizing soul winning. Emphasizing the need to go out and preach the gospel to the lost. Look, that's not a live church. That's a dead church. 389, look at the third verse. Out in the desert, hear their cry. Out of the mountains, wild and high. Hark, 'tis the Master speaks to thee. Go find my sheep wherever they be. Notice the Master's trying to speak to you. The Master's trying to wake you up. The Master's trying to say, awake to righteousness. Hey, go out and get people saved. Get them saved wherever they be. Go to the law. Hey, go to Shreveport. Go to Ardmore. Go to Waco. Go to Mexico. Go to Bahamas. Go wherever they may be. And you say, who's saying that? The Holy Ghost. The Word of God. Teach all nations. Look at Revelation chapter number 22, verse 17. We're at the end of the Bible, last chapter. Notice what it says. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Notice what the last message of the Spirit is. Come. Get him saved. Let him hear the Spirit speaking unto him. Look, when you're full of the Holy Ghost, he's going to help you stop temptation. Stop the devil. When you're full of the Holy Ghost, he's going to help you be selected to do the service of God. When you're full of the Holy Ghost, he's going to help you see Jesus. When you're full of the Holy Ghost, you're going to be a soul winner. You're going to be a soul winner. You say, man, I want to know if I'm full of the Holy Ghost. Well, are you stopping the devil? Are you being selected to do the service of God? Are you seeing Jesus through your persecution? Are you a soul winner? Are you a soul winner? This will give you not only a benefit, but maybe a test of where you're at. And you can examine yourself and you can look to yourself and say, man, where am I? And I'm telling you this, when you fill yourself with the Word of God, when you're singing the Word of God, you're going to have so many different benefits that are going to last a lifetime and beyond that to eternity. Close in prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving us your Holy Ghost, giving us the Comforter that we can be filled with in the New Testament. I pray that we wouldn't forget or neglect the importance of the Holy Ghost, but that we would lean into his prompting, that we lean into his pressing on our spirits when we're reminded of the Word of God, when he brings to remembrance scriptures for us to go and to preach the gospel and to get people saved and to comfort those, and to tell them about the water of life that's freely offered to them. I pray that our church would always be a church that wants to be full of the Holy Ghost, and that you would give us the Spirit even more than we have so now, so that we could do great works in your name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.